Today on The Grave Talks, a conversation about Broadhead Manor with owner Bill Walter. Broadhead, Wisconsin is a small, peaceful town in the southern part of the state. It might seem like there's not much going on in this small town, but it has plenty of activity. Paranormal activity. Some people believe the entire town is haunted. One of the main haunted locations is Broadhead Manor. Broadhead Manor was built as a school, with the first school built on the site in 1896. The 60,000 square foot brick structure on 10th Street is home to a haunted house. At Halloween, visitors come from all over to get scared at the haunted attraction, but in reality, the hauntings happen year-round. Many former students, teachers, principals, and even a janitor still roam the halls of their former school. Today on The Grave Talks, the hauntings of Broadhead Manor with owner Bill Walter. You are the owner of the Broadhead Manor. When you say Broadhead Manor, you think of like a historical looking home, but this is actually a school. It was originally built as a school.
Yes.
And does it go back to 1907 when this building was built?
1906. I can go back a little further in history for you.
Please do.
In 1865, they built the original school for the city of Broadhead, Wisconsin. That building sits on our property. I can say it sits there, but it's not. The 1906 half of our building, they knocked the 1865 building down. They used the foundation and floor joists and everything of the 1865 building to build the 1906 building. The 1906 building stood for another, I would say, 30 years, roughly. And in 1936, they built the gymnasium half of our building, which is the second half, and that's the newer half of our building. Our building is divided into two halves. One is solid wood and brick foundation, and the other half is concrete and steel. And like I say with everybody, that the 1865 building, if you go, we do have a crawl space in the old half of our building that you can actually see the foundation down there. There's the limestone original foundation. It's over 3 foot thick. There is a limestone floor base with oak floor joists sitting on top of that limestone base. They filled that in with concrete between the joists and kept the joists in and everything, and then built the new 1906 building on there. When the school was built and they were getting ready to do the addition on it, there were two architects, and I cannot remember their names, but those two architects designed 10 or 12 total schools in the state of Wisconsin in the old half, new half design, and incorporated keeping the old look of the old building and incorporating the new look at the other end to match the old look, which is phenomenal. If you look at it, it looks like one giant building was built there altogether, but there are, if you're inside the building, there are distinct markings. I mean, when you go across that threshold from 1906 to 1939, you can feel, you can sense the difference of the buildings. You can actually smell the old wood on one half, and you smell the concrete and steel on the other half. It's a really weird feeling you get.
And it's big. It's a really large building.
Correct. We have 60,000 square feet, which consists of our main level, which is 20,000 square feet. That's half underground, half above ground. So they consider that the ground level. Then what would be the second story is actually our first story. And then we have a third story. And each one is 20,000 square feet when you go onto it. We do have the original boilers that are in the boiler room of our building that are dated back to 1906. We've kept the historical value of everything we can in that building. Those old boiler rooms we can never fire those boilers up because of state codes and state regulations. Yeah. We can't pressurize them up enough. They said we'd blow up a 3-block radius if we tried to. It's just like a hydrogen bomb going off.
Oh my goodness.
So
don't try.
We're not going to play. We're not going to play with that. And there is no way to get these boilers out of the building because they're so big, unless you physically cut them up piece by piece by piece and take them out. And there's just not a chance.
And there's nothing you need that extra space for. You have 60,000 square feet, for crying out loud. You've got plenty of room.
Correct. And then basically, I'm going to fast forward in time. There's been plenty of remodels done on the building on the inside for the school purposes and stuff like that. The building itself was last remodeled in 1986. And during that remodel, they put all new windows in. They put new doors in. They put in all kinds of upgrades to the building, plus added big steel beams to the wooden half to make sure the wooden half wouldn't sag or fall or anything like that, just for the safety of the kids that were coming back to school next fall, you know, that next fall. If you look at some of the beams and girders that are inside this building, we were told they overbuilt this building because most of the beams are 3 feet tall, I-beams. That's a bridge size I-beam. So if it can hold up a bridge, it's going to hold up this building.
Wow.
They did all this remodeling work and everything in 1986, and then they closed the school in 1996 because the state decided they were going to build them a brand new high school. In the midst of the whole history of this building, the first thing that was built in the town was the elementary school. So they had our school became the middle school and high school. Well, then they found out the middle school grade was bigger. So they moved everybody from the middle school into the elementary school and brought the elementary school back to our school. So we had kindergarten through fifth, and then 6, 7, and 8 went to another school, and then you came back and you finished out your years in our school. Or that closed in 1996. Then there were three other owners that bought it between us and when it closed, all with the intent to make senior center, to make apartments, to make condos. One guy actually wanted to put a brewery into the building and see if that would take off. Well, the state wouldn't allow a lot of stuff to do, and they did get grants to start this work. Well, what these old owners did was they gutted this entire school. They took everything out of it and never started building. They got almost $4 million in grants to remodel the school. Yes. Well, they gutted the entire building, took all the metal out, took out all the plumbing, smashed all the toilets, smashed all the urinals. Like you're going to demolish the building on the inside to remodel everything. Well, they decided, let's just take the money and run. Because once you receive a grant, you can take the money and use it as whatever you want with. And they just left the school basically sitting there empty. Fast forward, now it's 2016. And I was working at a haunted house, you know, an attraction out in the middle of Rockford, Illinois.
Like the ones that you do in October or sometime.
Yes.
Yeah.
The basic haunted houses.
The ones that scare the crap out of me. I'm never brave enough to go.
I'm the master of arts for those. Well, we were out in the middle of a woods where you go through what they call it. It was a trail of screams. You'd walk down this trail through the middle of the woods in the dark, and there were houses built down throughout the entire trail. And each one had a different scene. And we'd scare the crud out of you as you're walking through the woods or walking through these houses. You know, it's just fun. Well, that year we got a lot of rain out in the woods, and we had a lot of that year it actually snowed a little bit, and the weather just was not cooperating with us, and we just wanted to get into an indoor location. So I spoke to the old owners and I said, hey, I'll partner up with you. I'll buy the building. You bring your haunted house into the building. And that's when we went out looking, and I found this old high school and negotiated down and got a really good price on it and bought the building. Having that many square footage, we would be the biggest haunted house in the state of Wisconsin. So that was how I came to buy the building and inherit this big project that I'm working on now.
Well, and with 60,000 square feet, there's not any quick restoration to this building. That's a project that just has to be ongoing for years, really.
It's going to be.
But for what you're using it for, you don't want to restore everything perfectly because, using a haunted house, because I think you're also using it for events and things too. But by the haunted house, you want them to go through a creepy looking classroom or something.
Yeah, you want to. We actually, right now, are in the process of converting our third floor into what would be a quote unquote mansion. You know, it's going to have everything. You're going to have a parlor, you're going to have a dining room, and you're going to have two or three kids' bedrooms. You're going to have the adult bedroom. You're going to have a really creepy bathroom scene, you know, and stuff like that. There's going to be a living room, a dining room, and a kitchen.
That is so cool.
But you're all on one level. But the way we do it is we'll make you actually, since the ceilings are 12 foot tall, we'll walk you up the stairs, you know, like a set of five or six stairs, and you walk on a platform for a little while. But what you don't realize is that platform is a little bit slanted. So you can walk across an entire room and then be back on the main level, but you think you went up a full flight of stairs. We can make multiple levels on one level. It's really neat how you can do it.
Well, and how you were describing at the beginning of this about how part of that main or the lower floor kind of goes underground. Right. So it is interesting the way it's built. Now, by the outside, it looks just like a school.
Yes.
A large school.
Now, you had asked me before, when you think Broadhead Manor, the name of the building now, you think of a big manor, a mansion, an old plantation house, something like that. Well, according to the state of Wisconsin, if we're going to have once you buy a property and you're basically going to make it into something else, they have a thing called a change of use. So when you do the change of use, they want you to give it a new name. They don't want it to be called the old middle school anymore. You know what? That's basically, that was owned by the state. Now we own it. Let's give it a new name. So we went searching and searching and searching, trying to figure out, okay, our haunted house name is Screamatorium or a Fear Asylum or, you know, different things like that. The one that rolled off my tongue is, let's just call it Broadhead Manor. Mm-hmm. So we filed the paperwork with the state of Wisconsin. We became Broadhead Manor.
With it being a historical building, but they had pretty much kind of gutted it, were you limited in what you could change inside the building? Or was it on the National Historic Registry, or were you able to kind of do what you want?
We can do what we want to the inside of the building. We cannot do what we want to the outside of the building.
You don't want to touch that because it's cool looking. It really is a cool looking building.
I mean, we have in the plans in the future that all those big fancy facades that are on the roof line that make the peaks and all that stuff, that is not concrete. That is galvanized steel that they painted to look like concrete. So what we're going to do, since it's flaking and chipping and painting and everything's fallen off, we're going to pressure wash it and we're going to bring it back to its original color. So as long as we're following in the guidelines of what the original building is, we you know, and keep the colors the way they were, they're not going to bother us. On the historical side of the building, the outside of the building is governed historical, but the inside of the building, since they gutted it and made it a mess inside, they don't want to even touch it.
Right.
So we have pretty much free reign to do what we want on the inside of the building.
Now, when you open it up as a haunted house, do you do it more than just October, or is this something you do more throughout the year?
We only do this in October.
Okay.
The haunted house usually runs the last weekend in September all the way through the last weekend in October, sometimes the first weekend in November. Throughout the rest of the year, I can go into that story when I go into the next part of this.
Okay.
We're leading into the paranormal stuff now.
Exactly, because I was going to say, anyone who's listened up to this point, they're thinking, why are we talking about a haunted house? This is a haunted house.
Yes.
So there's definitely paranormal activity that's gone on. And you also do paranormal investigations there. So you're open for that. So I think this is a really, this is what drew me into wanting to talk to you, was the way you're using it right now is that you're doing a haunted house. You can make money off that. It helps with restoration because restoration in a building this big is not cheap.
No, it's not.
So I'm going to guess a lot of money that you make goes right back in. But it's very interesting to me because it's actual, there are hauntings in this building.
Yes.
And so that's why I wanted to talk to you as well, because I'm very fascinated by what you're doing. So let's talk about the hauntings in Broadhead Manor. And when did you actually find out there was something paranormal going on, or had you known before you bought the building that it was rumored to be haunted?
We had no idea when we bought this building that our building was haunted. I believe in ghosts, but I'm a true skeptic. I'll call you out on everything that I possibly can. But when you're actually working in there and we started building the haunted house, you'd set a tool down, you know exactly where you set it down, and you turn around, it's gone. You search all over for that tool, you come back, and it's sitting right there where you left it. Now, how can your mind not see it the first time, and then boom, it's there again?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, then, besides that, we'd get something set up, we'd come back the next day, and something would be not, that whole thing that we just set up is all knocked down on the floor. And we're like, okay, did a cat get in here? Did a raccoon get in here? What got in here and knocked all this stuff all over the floor? And can't find anything in the building. I was being a skeptic. I'm saying, okay, it was this. We had a clown that was sitting about 18 feet off the floor in our gym. It was Hank. We set him up on a platform on the basketball net, you know, the basketball hoops. When we set that up, we made sure the clown was looking at the main door people were going to walk in, because people are creeped out by clowns. So as soon as you walk through the main door of the gym, you look up, you see the clown staring at you, and he's laughing at you and whatnot, because it does make noise. It doesn't move. It's not animatronic, but it does have a voice box in it. So somebody could sit with a microphone and talk to people as they walk through the doors.
That would scare the crap out of me right there.
Right. And he's up so high that nobody can move him. And he's screwed down onto the platform where he can't fall off. Well, we left. We had them all aimed and everything, had the ladders put away and whatnot. We left. We came back about 4 days later, and now he's looking at the total opposite wall. I'm like, okay, who's been in here? Who moved him? You know what I mean? So I'm trying to debunk this. I'm trying to figure out, okay, how did he move from one way to another? But we left again. We came back another day late, you know, the next day, and he's now looking down the middle of the gym. And we're like, okay, now he just moved again. He did this 4 or 5 times with us taking pictures of where he was sitting each day. And yes, he was moving around. His whole shoulders and head and neck and everything were moving back and forth across the gym looking around.
What the hell?
So that one I could not debunk. So we called up. We found a paranormal team, which was Expedition Entity, Dan Norville and Larry Eisler. Asked them, hey, you want to come find out if our building is haunted and just confirm for me that our building is haunted? Because there's something in here that's moving our stuff. Well, they were about 2 weeks out from coming to our building. And I just continued with the remodel like normal. And I got up onto a scaffolding and something kept poking my legs like little pins and needles all up and down my leg and make me jump. And I'm like, okay, now what is this? What's causing me? You know, it's not neuropathy. It's not anything else. And you see the little red marks where it was poked on my legs. I'm like, okay, now this is getting kind of strange. Well, finally, Expedition Entity gets there. They investigate the building. They spend a full 8-10 hours in there. And during that entire time, we're going about our business. You know, we were walking around, we were building things, and they were just doing their investigation, and they came back out. And I asked Dan, this is the first time I ever met him. I asked Dan, I go, is my building haunted? He said, watch our live when we leave the building. I'm not telling you a thing right now. I'm like, okay, now this is really strange because they were hurrying up to get out of the building. I'm like, what the heck is going on? Did they find a demon? Did they find, what did they find, you know? And I tuned into their live as they were driving away. And he's like, this is one of the most haunted buildings I've ever been in. They had so much evidence from what they were doing that they were coming. They had to come back the following day to see if they could get the same results or close to the same results they got the night before. We decided, okay, come back the next day. And we found out, yeah, our building's haunted because Dan went into it more when he got back the next day and said, you've got spirits in almost every single room in this building. And it's like the school is still going in session, but with spirits instead of, you know, spirits of children.
That's interesting.
Instead of adults, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Dan did the smartest thing and told me, okay, I can go around telling everybody, yes, my building is haunted, but I only had you guys to back me up as proof. He's like, I'm going to contact four or five different individual groups and tell them that you'll allow them to come in and investigate this building. And let's see if we can match up all our results. So over the next 6 months, we had five different groups come in, and those five groups left the building. They were like ecstatic when they left the building. They couldn't believe how much evidence they got on each individual visit. They all confirmed that, yes, my building is haunted, everything like that. Well, then we were in partners with the old owners of the haunted house. It was myself, my partner, and then the other couple was Ann and Brian. Well, Ann passed away that year. She passed away at the end of our haunt season. To make matters worse, the day she passed away in her house. She had a massive heart attack. That night, I was playing with a ghost app on my phone. And it tells you words. It gives you little dots where the ghosts are on a radar type dealy thing. And that night, my partner Ron grabbed my phone from me. He's like, I don't believe this app works. And he goes upstairs to the third floor. And as soon as he got it up there, he said, if there are any spirits up here, talk to me through this thing. And the first thing that came through the little obelisk on it was Ann. And that was Ann's name that just passed away that morning. And wow. It blew my mind. So we don't know if it was, we have named a lot of our spirits because they've told us their names. We have Elizabeth, we have Norman, we have Charlie, we have Thomas, we have Rebecca, we have Mr. Scott, who used to be a teacher there. We do have a janitor, we have a principal. Actually, we have two principals. It depends on which day you're there, which one is there. Because they have two totally different personalities and two totally different voices on the SB7s.
What is the best way you found that of communicating with them? I mean, obviously, they communicate to you without even any equipment or anything. If they're going around and moving things and tearing down things.
Right. I've learned the personalities of my spirits. I think I'm going crazy in this building because I actually walk around and I talk to them as I'm walking through the building. The best way to contact them I've found is through Estes sessions. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, I was going to say, go ahead and explain it though for everyone.
An Estes method is basically a sense deprivation, white noise experiment. You sit down on an object, a chair, a couch, a floor, anything. You put on a pair of blindfold that you cannot see through, and you put on a pair of headphones that's playing white static noise or an SB7 or something like that that's attached to it. So that's all you hear. That person is sitting there, and then when I do it, I make sure I'm at least 25 feet away from that person. So they definitely cannot hear me talk. And I'll talk in a lower tone of voice. And with that method, I've had conversations with our spirits, and they're confirming conversations. One of the younger investigators, his name is Ethan Kamarud. He has Ethan's Encounters on YouTube. He him and I work really good together with the Estes method. He goes under and I sit and ask questions. Well, I've watched plenty of Estes sessions. And during those Estes sessions, somebody would ask a question. You wait about 10 seconds and you might get an answer. You know, that's how the Estes methods I've seen done. Well, every time Ethan goes under and I'm around, the kids want to talk through Ethan to talk to me. And just as much as I'm sitting here talking to you and you're answering any question I have immediately, or I'm answering your questions immediately, this is exactly how our Estes sessions go.
Which is so fascinating because you really can't hear each other. You know, it's right. Not like he's hearing the question and making up an answer to it. He can't hear you.
Well, the reason I fell in love with this method was I've heard a lot of people try to debunk it. You know, that there's just so many people out there that just don't like the Estes method. But to me, I can show you on video some of my Estes methods with Ethan. And the way he's interacting and talking to me, there's no way he'd know any of the stuff that I'm talking about. Like, and I can tell which kid comes through because the way he does the Estes method is he'll raise his right hand if it's a boy's voice and he'll raise his left hand if it's a girl's voice. And one of our little spirits that follow me around all the time, her name's Elizabeth. She's always by my side there. She's not attached to me, but when I get there, she's always following me around. The other two main spirits is Norman and Thomas. Norman, he loves what I do when I have paranormal investigators come in and investigate. Right before they get there, I energize the building. And people are like, how can you put energy into the building? I don't use the little EM pumps. I don't use anything like that. All I have to do is play music really loud in that building. And it gives all my spirits so much energy. It's not funny.
Oh, that's interesting. What kind of music do you play?
Period music. I'll go from the building was built in 1906. So I'll play a couple 1920s band hits. Then I'll go to 1930s with the Andrews Sisters and stuff like that.
So music and they recognize.
Right. And then I'll move my way up to the 50s. When I hit to the modern day music, it's really weird that these old spirits that are in the building love some of the, if it's got bass or a beat to it, they love it. So we play heavy metal, we play, you know, classic rock, we play a lot of stuff. And during the reason I'm saying this is during our Estes method with Ethan, Norman came across and I'm like, who am I talking to? And he's like, you know. And I go, no, who am I talking to? And he's like, your friend. And I'm like, who am I talking to? You is it? And then I ask, is this Norman? Oh yeah, you know who I am. I'm like, okay. Well, then he goes, time to play. I'm like, what do you mean time to play? And he's like, music downstairs, stage now, turn on. So I'm like, okay, this, you know, Ethan's answering these things back on what he wants to do. And we get a lot of stuff. And with Elizabeth, I know when she's around, our favorite game to play is hide and go seek. And everybody says, well, how do you play hide and seek with a spirit? I said, I tell everybody that comes in, I know when she's there, because if I stand still in the hallway, she'll jingle the change in my pocket. You'll hear the change in my pocket start moving and my hands are up in the air.
Oh, isn't that something?
And I go, okay, Elizabeth, run and hide. Well, she'll run to a room and hide somewhere. And when I get close, she knocks twice. And then you'll hear her footsteps run away. She's running to hide again.
That's like you have a relationship with them.
I'm there almost every day. So I'm trying to teach them, you know, how to communicate with me in different ways. Because I am no farther from being a paranormal investigator than the local butcher down at the corner. You know, I run a haunted house. I'm not a paranormal investigator.
But so, you're kind of becoming one at the same time, or at least, did you know that you even had that ability before Had you had some kind of experiences with the paranormal before you bought the building? Personally, outside of this building?
Right. I myself have been, I know I'm something. I just didn't know what I was until a few friends of mine who are psychic mediums told me flat out, you are empath. Yes. Because I can feel when something's in the room. And this ability is getting stronger and stronger and stronger the more I'm at this building. I can tell you what's looking over my shoulder. I can tell you what that something just walked through the door. I can tell you the mood of the room when you walk in. I can sense everybody's mood as soon as I walk in the room.
And does the mood change in there? I've talked to people who work in other locations, and they've told me that they can pick up on the mood and emotion of the room, and it changes day to day.
It does.
That's so interesting, because it seems like it would, you know, there's spirits, you know, that's kind of the same day every day, right? But it's not. Right.
No, it's not. Our building is unique in one or a couple of ways. We sit on a limestone bedrock foundation. Mm-hmm. That limestone, everybody knows, attracts the spirits. You know, it's like a lightning rod to them that yes. You can just, they get attracted to it. On the property, our back property line is a railroad tracks. Now, the railroad tracks that are right behind our building run to the local cemetery, which is only 3 blocks away. Now, the local cemetery has 300 to 400, maybe 500 people in that cemetery, and each one of them went to school in that building.
So you've got some people kind of traveling in and out, too.
They do all the time.
Now, the other that I've heard is like the main three is also water. Do you have water nearby too?
The Sugar River runs through the downtown Broadhead area, but that's about 8 blocks away. So I don't think that would be too much. But if you really want to consider water, everybody looks at ponds and they look at streams and they look at rivers and stuff like that around where your building is located. Has anybody ever thought of the groundwater?
The aquifer.
If you dig down to the bedrock layer and you're on the bedrock layer, there is water. The water table starts just above the bedrock table. So we do sit on water also.
Yes. So you have all of the three things together right there, and four counting the cemetery.
This is not confirmed yet, but somebody said we are on a ley line. The town of Broadhead itself is on a ley line. Besides my building, the entire town of Broadhead has been rated in Wisconsin as being the most haunted town in Wisconsin. The history of the town of Broadhead is the railroad came through Indian territory and they leveled 7 of the 11 burial mounds that were in the town of Broadhead. One of them is on the back corner of my property. I can never dig there. They're afraid you're going to dig up bones and bodies and stuff like that because it was an Indian burial ground that the railroad just plowed through with bulldozers, basically. They did mark it, these state archaeologists and stuff, by planting 2 trees, one on each side of the railroad tracks, that denote where that burial mound was. So it is confirmed. Uh-huh. We're trying to work with the mayor and a couple other people that are friends of mine downtown to open up some of these buildings for paranormal investigations. So what you'll do is you go into this building for an hour, then you go into this building for an hour, then you go into the third building for an hour, and then your final kickoff is you get 6 hours at Broadhead Manor. Starting next year, we're going to try to see if this every single weekend we can book for everybody to do a investigation like that. It's really neat what's been going on lately with the building and the paranormal world. It really opened up.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation about Broadhead Manor with owner Bill Walter. We'll continue our conversation in part two about the real haunts and the real frights you can experience there. Get more information about paranormal investigations as well as the haunted attraction every Halloween at their Facebook page. Just search Broadhead Manor, spelled B-R-O-D, Head Manor. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper, sign up on Apple Podcasts, and you can try it for 3 days free. Or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. You can find everything there, also all ad-free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thanks so much for listening.